I'm Becky.
I'm Jesse.
I'm Lee.
And you're listening to The Good.
The Bad.
The Murdered.
Academy Awards?
No.
Nah.
Cool.
moving on.
Wait, there was something I wanted to tell you, but now I forget.
Was it good? Did you see anything good on there?
On the Academy Awards?
Yeah.
I didn't really watch it.
Well?
I saw some of it. Like, I saw who won and this and that.
Nice. What won Best Picture?
Okay. Maybe one day it's going to be Jesse. We have nothing to say about this.
For Best Picture.
Yeah, you were just talking about directing your own movie.
For true. Lewis.
Lewis.
The one-man film.
Best short film. No, there was... Oh, did you guys see what happened today at the spa?
Yes.
Where was that? Where exactly was
Atlanta.
It?
Atlanta.
Yeah, was it just Atlanta, Georgia? Like in a downtown area?
Suburb. No, it was kind of like... I think it was like a 30 or something mile...
Okay.
Radius, like first it was northeast of Atlanta.
That's crazy.
Yeah. There's three different ones.
Crazy.
I know.
People are fucking nuts.
I know.
You know what? I was listening and at first it sounded like it was racially motivated. But CNN also did report something about those salons. Weren't they happy ending salons?
That's what... I guess
the guy
got what he's saying, right?
That's what he said, because he said he's like, I have a sex addiction, and not like, so that's why he says that he killed them, because
what?
Yes.
Wouldn't that be why you would go there to get a massage?
Well, he whatever, like, doesn't he guilt, and he didn't want to like act out on his sex addiction, so he wanted to like take these places. Yes, exactly. He's, I mean, you know, fucking not, yeah.
See, these when it's like clear cut like that, like he did it, he said he did it, they have him on video, he did it. I really think public execution should be a thing. How many more people would do it if they saw someone's neck get yanked on a rope?
I mean,
I wouldn't.
Right?
If I was would thinking you? About, if I was like, I'm gonna kill all these people, and then they got a guy and hung him, I'd be like, nah. Or they stoned him.
Stone him.
Stone him would be brutal. That's like the whole town comes out with some stones.
Yeah,
I'd be like, rough. Nah.
How long would that take?
I'll probably just get a massage.
It depends on the size of the stones.
I mean, like, cock, yeah.
A stoning?
Long time, I would imagine.
I don't know. Probably not like, that long.
Well, the way I'm picturing it, you're...
Well, you're thinking like pebbles.
I am, and like everyone's pretty far away.
No.
So I feel like it would take a really long time.
I don't know, like I would say like 10 yards.
Okay.
Everyone gets a throw. Everyone in the town gets a throw, or whoever wants one.
And how big are the
like a baseball, stones? Like a good baseball size, a little less.
Yeah, dude, I feel like
I feel like after like 20 hits, you'd be probably pretty zonked out.
Well, also, I can't picture how far 10 yards is in my mind.
Think of a football field. I don't even watch football.
Two
when
of,
I think about it.
From but this wall football, to that wall twice.
Like
okay. From here to the bedroom.
Right.
To the bathroom. It's not that far.
No.
Plus, what
no,
you're gonna dodge a couple that actually probably puts more fear into the guy. He's probably like just get it over with, and they're missing.
Can't he just like cover his head and?
With what? No. They dig a hole and they bury him down. Just his head is sticking out.
Wait, that's how they do it?
That's one way to do it. That's the way I would propose if I was the mayor.
I thought stonings were just like
if I was the
hey,
mayor.
Stone
of
this... Becky, and then everybody in the town just picks up a stone and throws it at Becky.
I mean, for no reason.
No.
Like you got convicted of something.
Right. That's kind of what I was picturing too.
Or you could be tied up. You're just tied up, standing up.
So you can't defend yourself.
No. What's they have
I don't
stones?
Know,
it's not a snowball fight.
I mean, that's how the way Becky is describing it is the way I always thought.
Yeah,
it happened.
Like
what? Like Becky goes to get her hair done, and people just are like,
"Well,
now don't, we
that's
all agree."
How the Bible kind agree. Of created it, or like proposed it. I went to Catholic school. Didn't they talk about stonings? And like that's how like it was always depicted. In
I
religion
do
books.
Feel like yes, exactly.
Like one of the saints would just be cowering on the ground, and like stones would be thrown at them.
Yeah, but there also there'd be like a circle. You can't go anywhere.
Maybe
they can't just like run. You can't just run away, especially nowadays.
No, in my mind, you can't just run hop away.
In a car. Take the bus out of there.
Wait, did you guys know? Talking about this kind of stuff, firing lines. I just found this out. So in a firing line, I guess more recent ones, I don't really know, but not everybody's gun has actual bullets in it because it started to get to the point where, like,
they were wasting bullets?
No.
Oh, they were hitting other shit?
Well, no, the people who were in charge of doing the firing, if you think about it, then they would be the one, they would always be killing somebody, and they don't want them to know if they were the one actually taking somebody's life or not.
Ah.
So they did that to, like, I don't even know how to describe this.
So you
this.
Don't know if you are
or the one that killed them or right. not. Yes.
I feel like I would then assume that it was always me.
Oh, of course you would.
I feel like they do that to, like, I would keep a stone in my back pocket and let it go right after I fire. Anyway, welcome back to the podcast.
Oh, wait. I have another thing that's in the okay. Do you guys remember the case of Kendrick Johnson? Anybody?
Wait. No. Just tell me a little.
So Kendrick Johnson was like a Georgia teenager.
In a mat?
Was, yes, found up in
the
gym.
I know it.
Yes.
Did something develop?
Well, nothing developed, but they reopened the case.
Good.
Which I thought was like, I saw it in the news this week and I thought that was super interesting. That's what I was over here
Googling. Do you want to explain the case a little? And then I'll add to it?
Yes.
Since Becky doesn't know.
So what it is like this... This high school kid, pretty much to sum it up, they had like gym class was going on. They saw this rolled up. Remember like gym class, there was mats that you could put out for like the wrestling team and stuff like that. Well, this high school had their mats rolled up and put onto like the side of the gym. And somebody saw a sock sticking out of the top or something sticking out
of
the top.
A shoe or a sock.
Yes. And so somebody went up to like go check it out and it ends up. The sock, it was whatever it was attached to somebody and somebody was in the mat. So at first the gym teacher, whoever, thought it was just a kid who just like was playing a joke, and they unrolled the mat and this kid, Kendrick Johnson, I think I just said his last name was, he was in the rolled up mat and he was deceased.
How did he die?
So, yeah. And so he was rolled up in the mat and they said that like, I don't know if it was a money thing or whatever, but there was like maybe like you could, people would like put their sneakers in the mat and like hide them. They're like gym sneakers. And so the first thing was that like he was reaching down to get his gym sneaker and he got stuck. Mm-hmm. And that was like what the prosecutor, like I don't, so someone, there's a whole thing, but like I guess that's what the prosecution, that was one of the theories. But the thing was he was like his face was like severely swollen and beaten. Oh. And they were saying he was upside down and all the blood rushed there, and that's what happened. Mm. But there's a whole story, and there's... So, first of all, he's black, and the one guy that they thought did it was white. And also, I don't know the white guy's name, but his dad is, like, FBI or something. Mm-hmm. He's the only one that was seen. They have video of him, like, going and leaving. Like, it's pretty much... I don't know. If you look at it, it looks like that guy did it.
Yeah, he took a piece of a gym equipment, and like Kendrick had like damage on the side of his neck, like blunt force trauma that probably was caused from like a piece of gym equipment.
Yeah.
But it was kind of brushed off like it was an accident because of the guy who was, you know, the lead suspect was an FBI person's son.
When was this? What year was this?
Oh, geez.
Recent?
I don't know.
No, this happened years ago.
Like 10 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, 2013 is when it happened.
Okay. Oh, that's not too long.
Well, it's good they're reopening it. Hopefully they catch whoever did it. It seems like it's that one guy. Who the fuck knows?
Hmm. Yeah. So I thought that was interesting. I wanted to bring it up.
Awesome. So are we just going to get right into this? Are we diving in?
Ooh, I have some shout outs.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So actually, the first one is a correction.
Okay.
I've not gotten any of these yet.
Okay.
So the correction happened, one of the ones we recorded last week. We were talking before the episode about who the Unabomber was, and we said Ted Kaczynski, but that was actually the Oklahoma City bomber. The Unabomber is Timothy McVeigh.
Oh, Timothy McVeigh.
Yep. And that was...
You know what's funny? I was Googling that as we were talking because I was like, something's not right here because they say in Good Will Hunting... And I was like, wait, he did bomb something, but I feel, and I'm the one who said it. I was like, something is not right. But I Googled it, and I thought I was saying the name wrong, or mixing up the name, which I guess I was. But as soon as I Googled it, it said Ted Kaczynski. I was like, oh, no, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was brought to us by one of our biggest followers, actually listens to the podcast, not just likes us on Instagram.
Melissa.
Who?
No, Greg McGulock.
Mm.
Hey.
So give shout out to Greg.
Thanks, Greg. Greg.
Yeah. Sweet.
Sorry about that.
Okay.
Sorry about that, bud.
So that one's for Greg. Okay, another shout out. Guess what, guys? So we started Patreon this week, and we have, guess how many subscribers?
How many?
One.
Yes.
And guess who it is.
Is it your mom?
It's my mom and dad. Woo.
Thank you, Melissa and Robert.
Yes.
So shout out to my mom and dad.
Way to go. Way to start it off.
Yeah.
So, yes. And then one last one. Well, actually two, I guess. So the next shout out is Jack Lafferty.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Jack.
Jack's the best.
Jack gave us some interesting information. Becky, do you want to bring that up?
Yeah. So Jack texted us and said that he knew a lot of people. Our Ed Savitz episode, Fast Eddie, Uncle Eddie, who would pay like neighborhood boys for their dirty underwear. He said that he knows a lot of guys who did that. And it was like a super casual thing. Like it was like a very well-known, like he was like, yeah, I know tons of people who did that because he grew up in that area.
Now, do you think he did it?
Didn't we ask him?
Yeah, he said no.
Yeah, but do you think he lied?
I mean, I wouldn't be
Jack. I'm just busting your balls, buddy.
Yeah, Jack is also. Jack listens to Jack every episode.
He's
the best.
He shouted us out on Facebook too. So Jack was awesome before that, but now he's extra awesome.
Yo, I have an idea. Why don't we to those three people that you mentioned, because we have the stickers coming in, and then we're doing the other stuff. Why don't we send them? Send Greg. Them some stuff. Yeah.
Nice. All right.
So we need the address for Greg.
Yes, I have that.
Okay, cool.
Yep. So we're good. And then in the future, if we give swag away, we'll have to get people to email us their info so we can send them some merch.
Yeah.
This is our first thing of merch.
Awesome.
And we have one unshout out.
Are we removing a shout out?
Yeah.
Yes,
we are. Yeah, we definitely are. We had dinner with this person. And although we all love him and he's a good friend...
officially withdrawing our shout out.
Yeah, he's a great social media follower, one of the best, but has not listened to our podcast apparently.
So unshout out, Birdsy.
So Alex has been unshouted out.
He's, take it back.
He's not going to know because he doesn't listen to our fucking podcast anyway. But you all know.
It's the principle.
Yeah.
Principle. Taking it back.
Now, if he listens to one of these and tells us something, then we'll maybe shout him back out. But until then, we just can't have that kind of shit. any more? Anything else we have to talk about? Business?
I don't think so.
We have some stickers in the makes and we have some shirts. So I think by this weekend, actually, we should have some stuff.
Sweet.
And we have content on the Patreon. So, you know. Don't miss out on stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be posting some really awesome episodes on Patreon. So.
Actually, whose went up? Yours?
One of mine from last week went up.
Yeah, what was it?
Should we give them a little taste? It's the story of Chase Masner.
And that's all you get? Yes. No, I don't know. What?
But, yeah, I don't want to give too much away.
No, that's it.
A really good, really interesting story. So. You know, go check it out, guys.
Cool. all right. So that brings us to today's podcast, which is Lee is going to dive into some case.
So this case, I wanted to give Jesse and Becky a chance to guess, but I know if I give this first clue, it's a dead giveaway for Jesse. So, all right, guys.
I feel like I already know.
All right. Give me your guesses.
She hasn't said anything.
Wait, hold on.
Well,
let me
she told me something earlier,
out.
But I forgot what it was.
I told... Jesse, that this is a case. And no, I told Becky too. I told both of them that this is a case about that inspired a movie. So the case happened first. It inspired a movie. That's all I said. So Jesse is our film buff. So he's going to make a guess.
No, so I don't have a guess, but I have like 30 guesses.
Oh, okay.
So well, like I need
your most.
No, like, I need the next clue. No,
do
no.
I know the movie?
You know the movie. You probably
is
didn't
it a famous
it,
like movie?
I mean, you've heard of
I'm
the
sure
movie,
it's scary.
But it's a scary movie, so you probably haven't
I was
seen
thinking
it.
Okay. Of a stalker movie.
Ooh, okay, well, tell
but
me.
But there's like...
based off no information at all, just give me a guess.
Okay. Well, there's like the fan, swim fan, fear, crush. I was thinking of some kind of stalker thing.
More recent.
More recent?
Yeah. Like maybe from like the early 2000s, the movie I'm talking about. The movie's from the early 2000s. The main actress, this is going to be a dead giveaway. The main actress
Copycat?
In the movie. No.
I love that movie.
The main actress in the movie was the main lead in a little film that was made in the early 2000s called Transformers.
Oh, I already know.
Oh my
what
God,
it is.
Megan's body?
Yeah.
Wait. Isn't that about like demons?
No. So I know the case. So we just watched the movie recently, and I think the movie is in Devil's. What is it? Devil's
Kettle.
Kettle. I was gonna say it's like Colonel or something. But I know this story pretty well.
So actually, well, since you know it, why don't you give us a little summary about the movie so our listeners know.
So it's kind of based along that as far as like, correct me if I'm wrongly, but there's like, wait, am I saying the movie or some of the story?
What the movie's about.
Okay, in the movie's about this rock band comes to town and they're not having much success and they decide that they need to kill this girl, a virgin, at Devil's Kettle for whatever fucking reason. I don't really remember. And the main rock dude is Adam Brody from The O.C. Mm-hmm. And is it Amy Siegfried? It's not Amy Siegfried. Amanda Siegfried is in it. And then Megan Fox. But the girl they pick is Megan Fox. And wait, is it called Megan's Body?
No,
Jennifer's Body. Jennifer. Yeah, we said Megan's Body.
Megan's Body.
You said Jennifer's.
Oh, I think I said
Megan. I have seen this movie, but I remember it being about like
that's what
demons.
That's what
like the devil.
No. Okay. So they do kind of make it like that. But like there's a really weird part when the do you remember the movie? Do you guys like when they're playing and the where they're playing catches on fire?
Yeah, that's the only thing I remember.
And it's like kind of ridiculous. It's like I'm like, is this really happening? It almost seems like it's a dream or something. But they basically get Megan Fox in the car, take her to the thing, and then she doesn't know what's going on. She thinks the rock band's cool, and then they kill her. First of all, she doesn't die. And second of all, then she starts killing people, and the whole community is like grieving, and their song that they use to get by is like that rock band's. If I think hard enough, I know what it's called. The rock band is something shoulder. It's like
this is one of my
it's
trivia questions.
So dumb.
You guys.
It's like Low Shoulder.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
That's it.
And Low Shoulder gets so popular because of this and whatever. And like so they're like, oh, it worked or whatever. And then of course Megan Fox is like killing everyone and is a vampire. But so the real thing is I'm not gonna ruin anything.
Don't say anything about the story.
Nothing at all?
Nothing. Just only about the movie.
Okay.
So Jesse was right about all of that. It's a movie about a band who wants to become famous. Right. So they decide to offer a blood sacrifice. They find the town's local virgin, or who they think is a virgin.
Jennifer. That's why. She's not a virgin. She just...
Yeah, the band overhears her saying that she's a virgin because she's trying to impress the lead singer.
Right.
But she's not a virgin.
Which is why it doesn't take...
Yep, they sacrifice her at Devil's Kettle, which is this vortex-type hole, which if you throw something in it, it disappears forever. So the band members end up killing Jennifer in this black magic ritual. But lo and behold, since Jennifer is not a virgin, she ends up coming back as a flesh-eating succubus.
Succubus?
Succubus. Not a vampire, a succubus.
None of that sounds very real life.
No, but you'll see.
But the band, the band trying to kill someone. Is that what the case is? That sounds very interesting. I'm intrigued.
Are they in a band?
Yeah.
I thought they...
Don't give anything away, Jesse. Not yet.
I know the one kid looks like an idiot.
So, Becky is right. I have one or two other little questions before you guys can guess. So one of my questions was, what was the band's name in the movie? And Jesse already got it.
Low Shoulder.
Yes.
Nice.
Okay. This is an interesting tidbit that I found out as well. So do you guys know how the movie got its name?
No.
No.
Okay. So Courtney Love actually had a song when she was in the band Hole, and the name of the song was Jennifer's Body.
Oh.
And it was the inspiration of the name of the movie, I guess, when they were looking at like songs to play. They saw that. They loved the name of the song. So they named it Jennifer's Body.
I really like that song Malibu by Hole.
I don't remember it.
I don't either.
Crash and burn. Okay.
You'll have to play it for us later.
All right, bye.
All right, now Jesse's been waiting for this. Do you guys know, and let Becky guess first.
Okay.
Do you know what the case was for this?
God, no.
For the
movie? I promise you I do not.
Okay.
I don't know any
What did
cases.
You say?
Do you know what case was the inspiration for the movie?
Yeah, I can't think of the names. I can't think of the girl's name. If you said...
You're going to know all about it, but it is Elise Marie Palmer. Pauler.
Pauler, yeah. Elise Pauler. Okay.
Pauler.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to get into her story.
All right.
And I'm going to preface this with, Becky, you are not going to like this episode.
Why?
It might scare you. And when we get to certain parts, I'll give a little trigger warning. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Okay. Oh, wait. There was another thing I wanted to go over first before we get into it. So this case takes place in the early 90s. Do you guys remember like that time, like what it was known for in like crime culture wise?
What do you mean? I just feel like in the early 90s, I was terrified I was going to get taken off my bike.
Okay.
Are you talking about like kidnappings or something?
Well, yeah, there was like a whole like movement going on, but pretty much like go ahead.
Like atheists, like anarchist type like
cults?
You're so cult. Close. Yeah. Yes, both of you guys. It was the Satanic Panic.
Okay.
So, Satanic Panic.
Yeah, it was like late 80s, early 90s, a lot of these cases there was like people like the Zodiac Killer, Charles Manson, West Memphis Three.
I was thinking the West Memphis Three, but they like also a lot of people were just even at the for the Son of Sam and stuff, but they would just like some stuff happened and neighbors were like, oh yo, this person's really fucking weird. And then they'd be like, all right, it's gotta be him. People are just doing weird shit.
They were. And the news and the media, they pulled like a lot of lore from like the occult. Sacrificial murders, ritualistic killings, and the Satanic Bible. And a lot of things were like, it was almost making it like easier for them to blame the devil and Satanism than come to terms with like people just being fucked up.
I'm going to let you go, but I just saw, do you remember the case, Something Stanky? And the guy, that was the guy's name. And he was like 20 and the girl he was dating was like 12 and he thought he was like a werewolf.
Oh.
And she got like, they got like upset and they wind up killing her family and her little brother.
Oh my God.
I do remember that.
Yeah. And I think she's out.
Wow.
She's out?
She didn't get in any much trouble at all.
Ugh.
Jason Stanky? I don't know.
I remember the last name and I remember once you summed it up for me.
All right. So what's up with this one?
Okay. So a couple more things. So like at that time too, during like the Satanic Panic, music, video games, movies were all being blamed for like making people turn evil. Like music was a huge one. Like people, like bands like
Marilyn Manson.
Yeah. And like Slayer. And what's that other one?
Which?
Nine Inch Nails.
The Napster guy.
Napster guy.
He got upset about people pirating his Metallica.
I don't agree with that, but whatever.
I mean, I downloaded illegal music all the time.
No. Not that. I mean, that listening to music is going to make you go kill someone.
Oh, yeah. No.
Or whatever.
I agree.
I don't agree with that at all.
I downloaded illegal. I had Napster and LimeWire.
I did have Napster and LimeWire, though.
I can't believe that's what you thought I meant.
I did. Oh, and then I brought up one other case that, like, really, like, reminded me of this, too. It was, like, right around the time of, like, Columbine when, like, you know, like Dylan Klebold and Eric Harris, like were blaming, they were like saying that the video game Doom is what inspired them to go do Columbine. So it was like all in this genre is when this Elise, I'm going to say her last name wrong again. How do you say it?
I think it's P-A-H-L-E-R, right?
Yeah. How would you say that?
Pauler.
Pauler. That's it. Pauler. Okay. All right. So let's get into Elise Pauler. So Elise Marie Poller was born April 24th, 1980. She had two extremely loving parents, and she was the oldest of four siblings. She grew up in Aurora Grande, California. She attended Aurora Grande High School and was a popular, sporty girl. She liked to play soccer. She was in the band, and I think she was also in like some of like the musicals. She was like a good, well-rounded like kid. Honestly, it was really hard to like find a ton of personal information about her. And that's probably for a good reason. Her family wanted to keep that out of the spotlight because this case was so huge.
Yeah.
So Elise was 15 at this time. Do you guys remember what it was like being 15?
Oh my God, that's so young.
Yeah.
Like, what were you doing at 15?
I was getting in a lot of trouble at 15. I was making a lot of bad decisions.
What kind of decisions? That was like a nervous laugh.
I feel like you're actually looking at me waiting for answers.
Well, if I know anything about Becky, it was probably no good.
It was no good. I was like, I don't know, normal, like, you know, underage drinking,
smoking weed,
sneaking
out, getting hand jobs.
All that.
I said getting.
You said getting.
I did.
Yeah, all of that.
All like, that.
Troublemaker teenage stuff.
All the things that every single teenager does.
We were hiding beer under bushes and
drinking in the woods.
Yeah, getting 40s.
Week.
We used to get a lot of 40s.
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 Because they were easy, because you just go down the street and you would go in and there was a guy that like worked there that would like deliver. He would see you and you'd just tell him, and he worked there too, but then he would get them and you'd wind up paying like double, but it like didn't matter. It was like, whatever. We would have paid like quadruple. So instead of like $2, it was $4. So like, yeah, whatever. 17 40s, please.
Yeah. Case of 40.
Yeah, here's $80. Thanks. Get out of here.
Yeah, we would get on to Norristown. That's where we would get our 40s.
Nice.
Yeah.
So 15 was awesome.
15
is like the start of when I feel like you start like...
I felt like I was a grown-up.
Rebelling.
rebelling, like... finding yourself,
right.
Just having like a good time, experimenting,
yes.
All of those things.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what Elise was doing. She was trying to find herself. She was having fun with her friends. And I put on here, she was experimenting with stuff.
Ooh.
There was a story where she was actually caught in school, like being under the influence. So like a teacher like saw that she like wasn't acting right. So they sent her to the principal's office or the school nurse. And it comes to find out that she probably just like smoked before school. But the teachers, like, they called her parents. And so her parents came in and, you know, she admitted to smoking weed and drinking before school. Her parents weren't happy about it. And they took it really seriously. They wanted Elise to be, you know, successful and happy. So they made her actually enter a drug and alcohol class, hoping that she would be able to like get a better understanding of how dangerous substance abuse could be.
Right. Yeah.
Me and Becky were in the same.
So you guys
like,
know
so
what's
many
going on
years
here?
Ago, before we knew each other, yeah, we were in our little underage drug and alcohol class.
I was 21.
Oh, right. I was.
I just turned 20.
I was like 14 or 15.
There you go.
I was Elisa's age.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Look at that.
You could have met her in one of these classes.
Absolutely.
Yep. So that's exactly what her parents did. I put on here, and let me know if this is true, because I have personal experience with this as well. I put, this could be potentially the worst place to send your teenage kid because
they learn things that they would not already know.
And you meet people who are doing worse things than what you're doing.
Exactly.
I thought it was fun. I mean, I also was 21 at the time. But I thought it was fine.
I loved
it. The thing, I actually didn't mind it. But the thing, do you remember they showed us like all the diseases, all the sexual traits? That was like gnarly.
What I remember.
Because they kept saying, they were like, don't sit on a, dude, I didn't sit on public toilets for like 10 years after that. They were like, you can get this after this. And they'd show us a picture. And I'm like, holy shit.
They showed us a bunch of like STD pictures. That's what I remember more than anything.
I'd be at the Phillies game and I'd have to go. I'm just like, I'll just poop my pants.
Yeah. But I remember it being like, I met a lot of like older kids who were doing like a lot of like crazier stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, that's how. And then you like walk out with like a PhD in
right,
like
exactly.
partying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is unfortunately what happened. So when Elise was at this, like these drug and alcohol classes, like her parents thought they were doing the best thing for her. And like,
of course,
people,
yeah, of course.
People do not Absolutely. Know this stuff, but like, you know, she ended up meeting this one guy, Jacob DeLashment at, the Mariposa Community Recovery Center.
But for every one of the people that are like us there, not listening and whatever, there's probably another kid there. That
taking it seriously.
Taking it seriously.
Turning it around. Yeah, for sure.
Exactly.
Or whatever. There's some kind. It's helping people.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a catch-22 because there's good and bad that come out of it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But unfortunately, that's where this guy.
Jason DeLasha?
DeLashmet.
DeLashmet.
Met Elise. So. Okay. So, and then he also was friends with Joseph Ferrella. And she also knew him from school. So, like, they went to school together. I think he was in her grade or, like, a year younger. But he had dropped out of school, so they weren't in school together at this time. And then another guy named Royce Casey. So those are going to be our four
They were
main...
all in this program?
No, the only one in the program was DeLashmet.
Okay.
Royce Casey, she had never met before. But then Joseph Ferrella, she went to high school with him. So she did know him previously. Okay, so these three boys were all, they were all high school dropouts, and none of them were in school at this time. Joseph Ferrella, he's 14 years old. Jacob DeLashmet, he's 15. And then Royce Casey is 16.
I have a picture of them. Should I show them?
Yeah, you can show it, Becky.
Can I show you what the picture looks like?
Yeah, you can show. Yeah, you're fine.
It's okay? It's not a giveaway?
No, it's not a giveaway.
Mm. Okay, I actually, I Googled that a few minutes ago when I looked at
Look
it.
Look how young, I forget which kid this is.
It popped off.
Yeah.
That's the...
The one looks very young all the way to the left.
That's Joseph Ferrella. He ends up being the ringleader
oh God.
Of the group.
Okay. Yeah, and he looks like a little 11... Looks like he looks like a 10-year-old frog.
Truly.
Mm-hmm.
What a little shithead.
Yep. And they were in a death metal band called Hatred.
Oh, my God.
They weren't a death metal band. I forgot. Yeah, yeah,
called
okay.
Called Hatred.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
That's
Do you guys
stupid.
Know what death metal is? I had to look it up.
My brother yeah. used to listen
it's
to
like
death
screaming.
Metal. And it would, it sounded like, it. He would blast it very loudly, and it sounded like it was someone just recorded, like, torture happening. Like, someone just, like, shot someone in the kneecaps and, like, recorded the sounds and, like, put very loud instruments behind it. That is what he listened to. I swear to God, that's what it sounded like.
That's how they described it on here too. Not
just
that
screams yes. like shrieks.
Yeah, it's like there's like no. It's terrifying.
He listened the band he listened to. Guess what it was called?
They're all names like that.
Infant Annihilator.
Oh my God!
Yes, he doesn't listen. He's older now.
Anywho. Everybody goes through their
yeah.
phases.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now he listens to Bruce Springsteen.
The boss. So I had to Google death metal because I mean obviously I know what metal is, but I didn't know what like the subgenre of death metal like entailed. But it's considered a subgenre of heavy rock metal. What distinguishes death metal is the lyrics involving murder, torture, and the occult. So like that's like the key factor here.
Cool.
Yes. Nice. So, is that what your brother's music sounded like?
I mean, it was called Infant Annihilator, so.
Such a horrible name.
Yes, it was. It was terrible.
I
looked up some of their songs, and they're, like, not even appropriate to, like, say.
That's what all of them are. Yeah. Like, the lyrics are just insane.
Yes, yeah.
This case has, they focus on the band Slayer, and, like, some of Slayer's lyrics, like, I think I have it written down here at some point, but like I'll read you some of them. And like, it's exactly what Becky's saying. It's just like kill people, torture people.
Right.
Like it's pretty dark and morbid.
Oh my God. I think we, wait, look at this. It's good now.
I would lose my voice immediately.
It doesn't even sound like talking.
No.
Words.
Okay. The three reported to actually be very heavy drug users. They use acid, methamphetamine, nice. Cocaine, alcohol, marijuana, and they even sniffed glue.
How old were they?
14, 15, and 16.
Jesus.
And the 14-year-old was the ringleader.
I feel like that's pretty young.
That's insanely that's young.
Super young. Not for all these drugs. Like,
we smoked some weed and we drank.
And, like, alcohol. Yeah. Like, maybe, like, uphill.
Yeah.
That's it.
Definitely uphill here or there. That's cool.
Yeah. Not methamphetamine.
Meth and coke.
They acid? Were huge into acid.
I didn't do any of that shit until 20.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys
are like, super young.
Maybe 19.
Exactly. You
but not 14. That's 5-year difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At 19, I had a car and an apartment. So what did you expect, Mom and Dad?
It seemed like these guys would just do anything that they could get their hands on. And I put, where were their parents? Because they all were dropouts and pretty much little shitheads.
Isn't that not legal? Like, don't you get in trouble for that?
Yeah.
Like the parents get in trouble, right. And they get charged money and you have to go to court. It's a big ordeal.
So who the heck knows? But apparently all of these guys had dropped out. I did see where Royce Casey, I think he was in an alternative school, but the other two were definitely dropouts.
So, yeah, that also, and maybe the parents were trying or who knows what was going on, but the fact that people are going to blame Slayer but not the parents is kind of weird.
Yo, for real, all of this is, and we'll get to this because I don't even think we brought it up on here yet, but yeah, Slayer was blamed for a lot of this, and we'll get into that in a minute. So Joseph Ferrella seemed to be the group's leader. That was the 14-year-old, that one that you said looked super young in the picture.
Yeah.
It looked like these guys used to, like, just, you know, at first hang out, get high together, play music. And then one day, Joseph Ferrella, asked the other two if they wanted to, like, I think there was hints before this, like, that he was, like, into the occult, and he was into Satanism, and they all like death metal, and he made a joke one day and said, you know what we should do? We should sacrifice a virgin.
Oh, my God.
Apparently, he had brought this up to a couple other people, too, and I think he was, like, vetting who would kind of go along with him, and it just so happens that DeLeschmidt and Royce Casey...
Yeah, like, cool.
Yeah, they're like, this is a great idea.
I'm looking at pictures of them, and they just look like you want to punch them.
Oh, they have super punchable faces.
Oh, my God.
All three of them.
All three of them.
Yeah. Okay, so let me rewind a little bit. So prior to this, the three boys started to get into the occult. Joseph had seemed to be, like, the most into it. He, in, like, a lot of the articles, it said, like, once he noticed that, like, the other guys were into it, it, like, kind of, like, it made him feel good because, like, it kind of cultivated him as this leader because they would come to him on information about the occult. So he would purchase as many books.
Is it occult or cult?
Occult.
OCCLUT.
I'm probably saying it weird. But
No, that's right.
So, yeah, he purchased all these books about the occult. He read articles about Satanism. These guys joined, like, online forums to meet other Satanists and get, like, ideas and, like, kind of, like, you know, it was like their little genre. They're like their crew.
Yeah.
They even spent money to become card-carrying members of the Church of Satan.
Good Lord.
How much money?
It was $100 a card.
Damn.
Shit, I'm making money now. I'll join that.
Right? apparently... Oh, sorry, go back.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, apparently, like, Satanism, and I've only heard this, I really didn't look into it, but, like, as a religion, is not about, like, evil and death and murdering and all this horrible stuff. Like,
right.
Satanism itself is, like, almost another, like, subset of a religion. Like, I didn't know that. I thought it was just, like, the opposite of, like, religion.
Right. No, I've heard the exact same thing. That it's not what you would what people think when they hear Satanism. I don't know really what it is, but...
But apparently these little shitheads thought that it was evil.
What was the name of the thing that they joined?
Oh, the Church of Satan.
Just want to look it up. See how dumb this shit is.
I'll keep talking. Tell me when you have it pulled up.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so during this time, the three were known to be huge fans of Slayer. Like, that was, like, their favorite band. So Slayer, like I was saying before, they're a death metal band. Oh, Jesse has this website pulled up for...
It's called churchofsatan.com.
Yeah, if anybody's interested, Google this. It looks interesting.
Yeah, it actually does look kind of interesting.
I feel like I heard that it was more about like pagan stuff. Like, it's not really about, I don't know.
Well, this is the pagan symbol, this thing, right? I don't know.
Don't I have that on the side of my
head? Hey, 666.
That has to do with something. Anyway, okay. So.
Okay. Okay, so Slayer. Slayer is also a death metal band. Their lyrics are morbid, to say the least. Slayer sang songs about devil worship and sacrifices in a lot of their songs. And this is where Joseph Ferrella, the little 14-year-old, got his idea for sacrificing a virgin. He convinced DeLeshmet and Casey that if they were to sacrifice a virgin to the devil, that they would be making the ultimate sacrifice or the ultimate offering to the devil, and the devil would reward them and their band. So they believed that it was going to help them play better, sing better, and become famous.
Oh my God.
I mean, it sounds right.
Sounds legit.
What a bunch of fucking idiots.
Yeah.
Why didn't they just cut back on the meth and go to school?
And practice. If you wanted to be better playing music, practice. Yeah.
Exactly.
They just wanted to. I don't know, dude.
Dave Grohl, that was in, you know, Nirvana and Foo Fighters and other shit. He was like, you know, he's like, whenever he would see like American Idol and stuff, and they go out there and like, did they like me? And people vote. He's like, dude, we used to just sit in our garage and we sucked, and then we'd put on shows and we sucked, and we'd play together and we practiced and we sucked, and we made dumb songs, and then we made some good ones, and you just learn how to do it. Don't do meth and kill a girl.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, these guys thought they were getting their easy meal ticket here. So that's how they chose Elise to become their sacrifice. They chose her because they believed that she was like the perfect virgin. They had like Virgin Mary in here, but as godly as you could get, because she was a virgin. She had blonde hair. She had blue eyes. And they believed it was going to be the ultimate sin against God, and it was going to earn them a ticket to hell.
Good Lord.
Oh, my God. Look how cute she is. That's
She's the cutest.
So young.
And they're all so young. Soccer outfit, and I like the one with her hat on. I feel like that's how I dressed when I was in high school.
Yeah.
I was reading this, and I was like, this could have so easily have been me.
Yeah.
Yeah, think of all the dumb places we've been.
Yeah, and you sneak out. You trust everyone. You trust everyone at that time.
Yeah.
Like, you would never think, yeah.
Did you, now, was she, like, friends with one of them a little bit?
So, she, yeah. So, DeLeshmet, that Jason, she met him at this drug place. And she knew Joseph Ferrella from high school. She was not friends with him in high school.
Okay.
She knew him. They were acquaintances.
I thought she was friends with one of them and then met the other one. But okay. But
the guy DeLeshmet.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how, like, because I was doing research, and it was a podcast I listened to. I listened to a podcast about this a while ago, and they were interviewing somebody that went to school with Joseph DeLeshmet and Elise. And apparently, like, this DeLeshmet guy was like fairly attractive. Like, girls had crushes on him. They liked him. But
which one?
Well, it was DeLeshmet, because the middle one, the 15-year-old. Oh, the one on the far right. Okay. So apparently in high school, like, people thought he was kind of cute. But like, they were all very like, these kids would get into trouble a lot. So once the girls in high school started to realize that like, he was kind of bad news bears.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, people didn't. Like, the girls didn't like him as much.
Gotcha.
So that, like, Elise didn't know. I don't know if Elise knew that or not, but like, she met him at this drug class and they became friends and they were just hanging out.
Yeah.
Okay. So this brings us to the night of July 22nd, 1995. Elise is watching a movie with her parents and her siblings. She gets a phone call, and then shortly after, she tells her parents that she's tired and she is heading up to bed. Once she gets upstairs, she starts to stuff her blankets and clothes, her blankets with clothes in the shape of a body, because she is planning to sneak out of the house. And she was planning to sneak out. Royce Casey, Jason DeLeshmet, and Joseph Ferrella, they are all going to get together and go to a local eucalyptus grove and go smoke a joint and just hang out.
Did you guys sneak out a lot?
Not a, yes, I snuck out, but I wouldn't say a lot.
I think freshman, sophomore year, I snuck out a handful of times, but not like anything crazy. And then junior year, I was just came home when they told me to come home.
I was grounded all of high school, so if I wanted to go, well, my one friend, Greco, had this party freshman year, and it was like one of those like epic parties. Everybody came. We got in so much trouble. And like from then on out, I was grounded for like the rest of high school. I mean, that party was pretty epic, so it was kind of worth it. But my parents never trusted me again. So I was grounded all the time. And if I wanted to do anything, like I had to sneak out.
Okay.
Sorry, Mom and Dad. Okay. So Elise's friend said that like she would sneak out on occasion. And she would like, you know, meet up with friends. Like she didn't really meet up with these guys a ton, but like she was friends with them. And she would probably, you know, when she snuck out, she would be drinking like a couple beers, smoking a joint, and just like hanging out and having a good time. Also, like where her room was, because like it's not, I don't know, I always wonder like, oh, how easy is it for you to sneak out of your home? She had a bedroom where she had like French doors leading outside.
Oh, that's so easy.
Yes. So wow. She was like on ground floor. It was easy for her to come and go.
Oh, wow.
Was it easy for you guys to sneak out?
No.
No.
What did you have to do?
I mean, not just really walk out the front door. I mean, it wasn't.
Wait, that's easy.
Well, but it wasn't my bedroom.
Yeah. Well, so I had to leave this room and the floors like crack and like the steps, and I had to go down and then I had to go to the basement. And the basement door made noise. Like, everything made noise. So I would, like, if I came home from being out, I would then walk into the kitchen and do some stuff and, like, open the basement door because it made a lot of noise. And then I would slowly, like, go down a step. Like, one step would take me, like, 2 minutes.
Did you know where all the cracks, like, yeah. The creaks in the floor were?
Yeah, and then I could get down to the basement, and there's a coal bin in the front because it's a Philly row home. And, like, back in the day, they used to just shovel coal and just throw it into the, like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that window, I would like open it and go out there. And then there was like this, it was an old window. There was like a front little grate thing that looked like it was locked, but I had to unlock it and leave it unlocked and just put it back. And I always thought someone was going to break in that way and like kill my family while I was like out drinking a 40 for an hour and a half. Like there was no reason for me sneaking out. Like I would be out for like an hour or like maybe 2 hours.
That's so funny that you said that, because I would have to leave my sliding glass door open, like unlocked.
Yeah.
But I would always think the same thing, like, what if I left the door unlocked and like somebody breaks in while I'm gone? Yeah. And it's my fault.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, guys. I don't remember doing any of that.
Yeah, I did it. All right. So this is where we're going to do the trigger warning. So if you guys aren't good with, I don't know, horrible stuff, then skip forward a couple seconds.
Little trigger warning.
Like me, but I can't.
Yes.
Because here I am.
Okay. So, on the night.
I can mute your speaker.
My headphones. No.
Your headphone.
All right. So, on this night, like I was saying before, she had plans to meet these guys to go smoke a joint in the local eucalyptus field or grove. Google that, what a eucalyptus field is. For some reason, I was thinking like, not a eucalyptus tree, but I Googled it. It's so pretty. It's like such a beautiful little forest. And like,
really?
Yeah. And they're in California.
Bushes.
That's what I thought. But no, it's
like
the
a farm.
Like the trees where the bark comes off and it's like really like whimsical looking, I guess. Aww. But yeah. So that's where they were going. And I guess this eucalyptus grove was fairly close to her house, like within a mile of her house. So little did Elise know that this, like, there was, like, this huge elaborate plan to lure her out of the house.
Oh, God.
And these three boys had plans to murder her. So Elise was relaxing, enjoying herself. They'd been there for a while. She was smoking, whatever it was. And then all of a sudden, DeLeschmidt took off his belt, wrapped it around her neck, and started choking her.
Good Lord.
Yes. While this was happening, Royce Casey lunged at her and held down her hands and her arms. And then Joseph Ferella pulled out a hunting knife.
Ugh.
A knife that they had like strategically bought online for this sacrifice. And he stabbed her. He started stabbing Elise in her neck.
Ugh.
Oh, my God.
And then DeLashmet and Casey then took turns stabbing her in her neck as well. Once they realized that she was not dying fast enough for them, they started to like stomp on her neck. It said somewhere that like Royce Casey, like he stomped on her neck. And as soon as he did that, like she was quiet. So they believed that she was dead. Once they believed that she was dead, they took turns raping her body.
What the fuck? What the fuck?
That's why I gave the trigger warning. It's so fucked up. Yeah. So, after the murder, after...
They're so young.
I'm speechless.
Yeah.
Yeah. 14, 15, what and 16.
Why not just act nice, drink some beers, and talk to someone and buy them flowers and
buy them
get
flowers.
A hand job?
Jesus Christ.
Buy them flowers. Not to make fun of what, but like, Jesus Christ. Yeah, what the hell is their problem?
Yeah, like anything but this.
I like can't wrap my mind around this.
I don't think like it's crazy.
And like three people who would be willing to do, like, I don't, that's insane.
Yeah. I was doing like a lot of research on this, and I was like listening to interviews of like her classmates, and like the once everything came to light later on, you know how like the school usually brings in like counselors and they talk about what happened and they make sure all the kids are okay.
Yeah.
They really didn't talk about it because nobody knew how to talk to these kids about what happened because of how horrible and horrendous this murder was.
Right.
So I don't know. So these losers, leave the eucalyptus.
The other thing, like they can't even get away with things that won't get them kicked out of school. How did they, why did they think they'd be able to get away with murdering a girl?
Yeah. Did they have a plan on getting, like, what was their plan here?
Their plan was to, first of all, they had no plan, but what they painted their plan to be was that they were going to make this sacrifice and they were going to become famous musicians.
And the devil was just going to like hook it up.
Yeah.
And then they'd be fine with it later.
Oh yeah.
There's tons of shit I did and liked when I was 14 that I didn't like when I was 15 or 16.
Oh, yeah. And you think about it for the rest of your life. It, like, plays as little memories.
Like, even music. Like, maybe they don't want to play music when they're 17.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I cringe when I look at my Facebook statuses.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right? Imagine if you killed someone 15. Like, why would they think they would just be living with...
My Facebook status from 11 years ago today is Becky King thinks bitches need to grow the fuck up.
Yeah, I think you should do that every podcast. Just double check what your Facebook.
That's me at their age. That was my thinking.
Yeah, we need to incorporate that into every episode.
I have a question.
Yeah.
To the bitches out there, did you guys grow up? Email us at the good.
I don't know who I was talking
about. The good, the mad, the murdered at gmail.com.
Okay, so after they murdered Elise, the three left the eucalyptus grove. However, they would return multiple times to perform necrophilia on her corpse.
Oh my God. How long?
I'll get into it, but okay. She was there for 9 months. Yeah.
What?
Yes.
Not that entire time though.
I mean, from what these guys reported, yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So, and the crazy thing is, listen to this. These guys bragged to their friends that they sacrificed a virgin, and like they would talk about it, but like nobody believed them. They thought that these guys were just like, you know, making things up or whatever it is. But like after it came to light with the police, what had occurred, like a couple people came forward and they're like, yes, we knew this. Like they told us this, but like we did not believe them. So they talked about it.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess it was DeLashmont and Farella who told friends that they were having sex with her dead corpse.
For 9 months.
Where was her body and where were people? Why couldn't she be found?
She was in the eucalyptus grove, exactly where they had lured her to. And
nobody else went there?
Well, the crazy thing is, and I'm going to get to this soon.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. Let me just get to it because it's right here. Okay, so clearly no one... like of their friends were taking them seriously because none of them told anybody. Because I put who would think anybody would do that, especially these guys. Just look them up, like literally just look these guys up. So, okay, the day after Elise was found missing out of her bedroom, her parents reported her missing immediately. even though she was acting out, she was still a good kid, and they did not believe that she would run away. So, you know, like the old song and dance when stuff like this happens, like her parents went to the police. Her parents told the police that she had recently had to go to drug and alcohol counseling, there was a fight.
Yeah. Something they said, the police didn't take it as serious because of the way they said something. So they thought she just ran away or something.
Exactly.
That sucks.
Oh my God.
So probably if they took it like seriously, they probably would have been able to find her. But the police were just like, oh, she's going to be back soon. She just ran away. Like, she's just with friends. And the fucked up thing is that, like, there was reports coming in from other towns and townships and counties, sightings of Elise. Because, like, you know how, like, people always want to, like, get involved?
Yeah.
So people were saying, or maybe they really thought they saw a young, pretty girl with blonde hair and blue eyes.
Right.
So that threw the police off even more. So they honestly thought that Elise was a runaway. So Elise's parents' names are Dave and Lise Ann. At the time, they were actually planning to move to a new town. And they said that Elise was, like, super excited to leave and start over again. Her parents really wanted to get her into, like, a new school to meet new friends, and they were hoping that would help with, like, you know, the drug use. So, like, they did not believe, like, they knew their kid, and they're like, our kid did not run away. Like, something happened.
Yeah, so they knew.
Yeah.
Exactly. Actually, this is really sad. So, Elise's grandmom actually went onto the news to give Elise a message, because they were obviously holding out hope that Elise was alive. So the grandmom, like, went on and, like, pled with her and said, look, Elise, if you're out there, I don't care what you're upset about. Like, I just want to give you a hug. You can stay with me. You can live with me until we figure this out. Just come home.
Oh.
Yes.
That is so sad.
And, like, it said in here, too, that, like, even Elise, like, her friends, her close friends said that, like, she did think that her parents were, like, overreacting for the drug and alcohol thing. But, like, she wasn't even mad at them. She was just like, all right, you know what happens. Like, yeah. She was just, like, a good, good kid. So, 9 months goes by. And so before I get into this next part, do you guys have any idea how they came to find Elise?
Did someone stumble upon her?
You would think, but it's crazier than that.
Crazier?
Yeah, like, it's mind-boggling. Not what? Really, but...
Did an animal bring some of her out into the open?
No, okay. Not that mind-boggling. I'm just going to tell you guys.
Did their band...
Oh, God. All right, what was that guess?
What?
Something about their band made a song about it?
No, but that would be crazy.
Did they have a concert?
No.
Okay.
They obviously did not get any better at playing music, so nobody wanted to listen to them.
Right.
Okay, so 9 months goes by. Case is completely cold. No leads were coming in, no report. Until one random day, Royce Casey, the guy, the 16-year-old.
Told on him?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He just walks into the police station and turns himself in for murdering and raping Elise.
Why?
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Well, good for him.
Did they? I wonder. I mean, why?
But what a weirdo.
Like, after 9 months of that, like, did he just have a change of heart?
I will tell you.
Okay.
Wait, that's exactly what I was saying.
Right. Yeah.
That's exactly. Like being into soccer and then you're like, I'm into basketball. Only yeah, it's you just guessed that rape, earlier. Rape and yeah. murder. Like, yeah. Why would you? Oh my God, what wow. a fucking bunch of idiots.
Yeah, so Royce Casey had recently converted to Christianity.
Holy shit.
And this had given him the motivation to turn himself in.
Well, thank God.
Yeah.
Yes, he's still a piece of shit, but
oh, yeah, for sure.
At least he turned himself in. Okay, so there's...
That's crazy, because that makes it sound like they would have gotten away with it.
Oh, yeah.
And by that so time, she was, like decomposed why, like, and kids. Hidden.
Yeah, right. They probably would have. Because the crazy... Okay, if you think about it, because who would tie it to them? Like, who would think that they would do that? It's kind of like that Tara Grinstead case from, like, you know, Payne Lindsay did that yeah, up that and vanished.
Yeah.
They didn't think the murderers were the murderers because it was just so, like, they obvious. Weren't connected at all. Well, yeah, that too. I mean, that's, like, what they always say, like... To be the perfect serial killer, kill people that you don't know or have no connections to. Because, like, you need to have clues to solve yeah. a case.
Well, just if, like, 9 months had gone by and no one found her body, That's wow.
She was 1 mile from her home.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Very close. So, yeah. So Royce Keyes. Okay.
Sorry. Not to whatever on the community or the parents or the police, but if something like Valley Greens, like I would just be like every day, all day, just like I'd be like camping out in Valley Green, just like look at searching everywhere.
Oh, like the community, like search parties.
Yeah. Like how did they not walk by?
Maybe they did. I mean, I'm sure that they led an investigation of some sorts, but
yeah.
Who knows?
Right. Wow.
You know? This was interesting too. So
those other guys must have been so pissed.
Right? Well,
we were just about to be famous.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because what happened was, and I put dot dot dot, the fact and the fact, not just the Christianity, but the fact that the other two were starting to grow suspicious of him, because Royce Casey had admitted to himself that shortly after the crimes took place that he started to spend less and less time with the other two boys. So Ferrella and DeLeschmidt had been quoted by saying there was a song. I think this was one of their song lyrics. Oh, no, this was a song lyric from the band Slayer.
You don't really care about us.
Not that, but close. It was, the lyric was, she wouldn't be the only one. Oh, no, no. They said to Royce Casey that Elise would not be the only one, that there was going to be others.
Okay.
So they said that, and then there was also a song lyric from the band Slayer that said, if you're not with us, then you may no longer exist. So Royce Casey really thought that, like, since he was growing further away from these guys, that he was going to be the next one that they murdered.
Hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, so he pretty much was just saving himself.
Yeah.
Like, he was not turning himself in to because of Elise Palmer's family.
Right,
he was saving his own ass.
So, you saw pictures of these three kids.
Yeah.
You know what they did.
Mm-hmm.
One of them confessed, and the other two are going to come in and whatever. Stoning?
Stoning?
Yeah, would that be acceptable?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so.
Right, okay. That's all.
There you go.
I think so, yeah.
So, once Royce Casey turned himself in, he told the whole story. That they had been planning this attack on Elise for months, that they had actually even tried to kill her previously.
What?
Right. Wow. So, you know what's funny? When you were telling the story, I thought it was going to be the attempt.
The attempt first and then the...
Yeah, because... can I say what I think happened?
Yeah.
Isn't it something like they went to smoke weed and I guess they were all there. I don't know. But some of them were there or all of them were there. And they had... I don't know if they had the knife hidden or they had a knife on them, but one of them was like, go, do it. Or they like, counted or something, and the person just didn't do it.
You're
something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
And she just didn't think anything of it or thought they were messing around.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they were. Jesse, you got it 100% right. Royce Casey was not there. There was another guy, and I forgot to write his name down, which is even crazier. This other third guy that was there for the first attempt wasn't here for the second attempt because he was already in jail because he shot somebody.
What?
Yeah.
I was going to say, why didn't he tell on them? When they kept saying this, he could have been like, oh my God, they really did it. And maybe like after a couple weeks felt bad, didn't see the girl. But no, he had already shot at someone. So he was actually just a piece of shit. So
yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Exactly. And
what town is this again?
Arroyo, California.
Arroyo, I think.
That's it.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So at this time, the group asked Elise to go for a walk. And then one of the boys was supposed to slip down a hill. And right. The place that they were at was called the Pipe of Death. And they were there because it was called that because another kid had fallen to his death. So they were hanging out at this Pipe of Death and there was a ravine there. One of the boys, the one that wasn't there because he shot somebody else, pretended to slip down this ravine. And then Joseph Ferrella tossed him the knife that they ended up killing her with later on, tossed this third boy the knife and... They started screaming, do it, do it, do it. And this third guy just froze and nothing happened. And like you said, they at least just thought they were joking around. Like yeah. She didn't like take them seriously at all. So she had, and she clearly trusted them because she continued to hang out with them because she's a sweet girl that probably didn't think anybody was evil.
Yeah. I can't get over how young, like I just keep thinking about that. Like
I can't stab her. I'm just going to shoot this person tomorrow.
Right? Exactly. So he shoots somebody, but he couldn't. Yeah.
Like, I was thinking about, like, if I was in that position, if I was in that position with you two and one of you started screaming, do it. I think I would run away from you.
Oh, you wouldn't think it was a joke? Especially if you're high? I mean, on some weed?
I don't know. But when I was 15, I'm sure it would be completely different.
Yeah. And then we were just joking. Here's a Newport.
Here's a Newport.
A Newt. Here's some Newts. All right. So all these boys were arrested. Ferella actually admitted exactly what he had done to Elise and her body to his mom.
Oh my God. How, like, can you imagine?
Oh my God. Imagine being the mom and just being like, oh my God, I raised a little fucking shithead.
I actually have a story about that, a sub story in a minute.
Did she smack him?
It did not say.
If I was his dad, I would just pick them up and throw them through the window.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. But anyway, I mean, at this point in the investigation, or the investigators were asking these kids, why did you do this? And their main response was, it was to receive the power from the devil to help them play guitar better. So,
good God.
Yeah.
Did the cops say, do you play guitar better?
Yeah, God.
The investigation, and they're like, nah, we don't.
Why didn't they just take her to the movies and get Guitar Hero?
Right.
And fucking call it a day.
Anything. Or do I just watched The Pick of Destiny the other night. Oh, Jack Black.
So yeah.
They could have just gone and got The Pick of Destiny.
Yeah.
They would have played better. All right. So during this trial, the three teenagers blamed Slayer's music for being the driving force behind their obsession. That was their main thing. They all told the lawyers that they were it wasn't us. Slayer's lyrics totally made us do it.
I don't agree with that or streaming music.
Right.
Or a LimeWire. Dude, but how many kids are out there listening to Slayer who don't murder people?
That's what the judge said. He was like, so many people listen.
Most people listen
and don't murder people.
Yeah.
Millions of people listen and don't murder anyone.
Jesus.
So I have a lyric from one of Slayer's songs. And this is what a lot of people said was the motivation for the killing. All right. The lyric is, erotic sensations tingle my spine, a dead body laying next to mine, smooth blue-black lips. I start salivating as we kiss, mine forever, this sweet death, continued with how I love to kill you.
Necrophilia?
I mean, that's fucking weird. That's a weird lyric.
Yeah.
But whatever the songs are, you don't, I don't know. I mean, that's real creepy.
Right?
I'm not a fan. I would not listen, probably.
No.
Yeah, but you can't blame that on why you decided to...
I think the parents tried to take some action towards that way too, didn't they?
They did. They, the parents, Elise's parents sued Slayer twice.
Wow.
And
to no avail.
Yes, no avail. The judge pretty much ruled that... even though he said exactly what Becky did, that the lyrics are horrible and morbid and not good, that there's warnings on music for a reason, and the kids, first of all, didn't have to listen, and Slayer, I mean, it's an artistic form of, I don't even know how he said it, but it's art, and so they're not forcing anybody's hand to go murder somebody. So
right.
Slayer should not be at fault.
No, and again, you listen to different music when you're different ages and this and that, but the whole thing is, it shouldn't have been Elise's... Elise shouldn't have been in that position. Elise's parents shouldn't be in that position, obviously. The kids' parents should have been dealing with this fucking mess. They're the ones that should have been dealing with it. They're the ones that should have got, had been attacked by the kid, or they attacked, or whatever, or had to get the kid out of the house, or they had to call the police and he had to leave, or someone to get stuck, dragged away in a straitjacket or whatever. But I think the parents are more at fault than anything else.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. But in the end, the three pleaded no contest to the murder of Elise, and they were all sentenced to serve 25 years to life.
With the possibility of parole or no?
It does not say.
How does that work when they're minors?
Well,
they gave them an adult they gave him a different
charge.
Because
can't you not sentence a minor to without parole? Am I making that up?
It depends maybe what state and what the crime was. Yeah. This sounds like this is a pretty bad crime. And also the entire, all the charges were the length of 9 months.
Well, yeah, I think what happens too is like the judge can rule that they're tried as an adult.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm assuming in this case, and I did not look it
up. 25 years to life sounds like they were tried as adult.
That's what I would assume as well. Because, I mean, I did on here, I'll get to it in a second. Well, I'll just talk to you about it now. Well, first of all, the three were all held in different prisons. They're not allowed to be in prisons together. They're all in different California prisons. And there was something that I read that Joseph Ferrella, the ringleader, was up for parole. And his parole was denied. Yeah. So, like, it's been denied multiple times. Like, I don't think that guy's getting out. Let me actually follow that up with something. So after a few years in jail, DeLeschmidt, the middle 15-year-old kid, mm-hmm. At first they all kept saying that it was the music's fault and not anything else. Finally, after time and thinking about this in prison, he said that the music was definitely destructive. However, Ferrella, Joseph, the youngest one,
right,
was just obsessed with Elise and obsessed with killing her. And yeah. Pretty much like the reason, his motivation was that he knew that like Elise didn't like him. So he killed her because he wanted her and he wanted to have sex with her and he knew that he couldn't. So his whole motivation was having sex with her.
That sounds more likely. I don't know.
And he tricked the others into it?
Yeah, and he tricked others into it because others were, I don't know, they were, who knows. But, and then I put on here, Ferrella's parole had been denied multiple times because he keeps going with the same story. Oh, it was the music's fault. Oh, it was the music's fault. It was nobody else's fault. Like, it was all the music. So he's not taking blame for this at all.
Right.
And then I did put in here, too, we already kind of talked about it, that Elise's family, they did try to sue Slayer, saying that their music motivated the teenagers to kill their daughter. However, the judge did rule that the music had warning labels on it, and they were there for a reason, and that the band could not be held accountable for the murder of Elise Palmer.
Right.
Okay, so in researching this, I found a very interesting side story.
About a parent? Because I'm very interested in like the boy's parents' responses to this.
So, okay, no, yes and no.
Okay.
So the only parents that...
Her parents?
Well, her parents, they were talked about, but Joseph Ferrella's parents,
the ringleader,
I read somewhere his dad was not really involved. His dad lived in another state.
Yeah.
So had not really been in communications with him at all. And the only other thing I read was that his mom, like he told his mom everything about what happened after, like right before he turned himself in. But this actually has to do with Joseph Ferrella. So as I was like looking up pictures and stuff, I saw this one picture and I didn't know who it was from the case. But when I put in Aurora, how do you say the town name? Aurora?
Arroyo something.
Arroyo. So when I Googled it.
Arroyo?
I know. So when I Googled it, this one kid's picture kept popping up. So I looked him up and it was actually Anthony Ferrella, who's Joseph's older brother.
Oh, I saw something pop up.
Did you?
Is it a relation?
It's his older brother.
He did something.
His older brother also killed somebody.
What?
I'll give you a little snippet of it. So Anthony Ferrella, I'm just going to summarize this. I'm not even going to read off here. There's only one thing I'm going to read. So pretty much he was, he sold weed. And so he was going to sell like a bag of weed to these two other brothers, Grant Hunter, and I don't know what the other Hunter's boy's name was, but these two brothers. And so they go to meet up and Ferrella, I guess, hands him the weed. And then these two boys just take off and they robbed him. So this is what's interesting about this. The brothers later, this is in the 90s, remind you. So like pagers were a thing, like cell phones really weren't a thing yet. So did either of you guys have pagers?
Yes, I had a beeper.
No, my dad did. And I used to beep him while he was at work and tell him to bring him ice cream.
Well, Becky.
911, ice cream. And then type in your address. Like, hey, he's like, where should mom. I bring this ice cream?
So back in the day when pre-cell phones, you would have a pager.
Yes.
And you would you would like put codes into people and like the codes meant like little messages.
Yeah.
I don't remember any of them. Jesse, do you remember any?
No, but we did. So we did our own code. So 911 meant like call me back quick, but it was never like a, not like a real emergency. But then we had numbers for different spots around here. So we would go to the payphone and hit like 3, and that meant go to the water tower. But no, I didn't know any of the like universal codes.
I don't remember any of them. I know I used them, and I remember having a pager. I like begged my mom and dad for one, and then because I was broke, and I got one. I had two different ones. One was like a see-through green color pager, and it was like had a clip on it. And then
I think
was
I had
blue.
That one.
Did you?
Yeah.
I remember I was so excited the day when
they were cool.
They were cool. Pre-cell phones, man.
I was not in time for pagers. Just barely.
Darn it. I just turned my laptop off and I want to read you guys this message.
Turn
talk amongst yourself
on.
In 1 second. So pagers.
Pager. Well.
So interesting fact, fun fact.
Yes.
When I was a freshman, I had a beeper. And then
is there a difference between a pager
no,
and a
no, no, we just call it beeper. Although I do feel like maybe one you could like get messages on.
One you could, because I would be like, hi, this is mom.
I feel like
talking
that's
to my dad.
I feel like that's a pager.
Yeah.
The beeper would just beep with the phone number. But right. Freshman year, I had a beeper or a pager or both at some point, probably a couple different ones. But by the end of senior year, we had cell phones. And that is like, there weren't cell phones when I was in school when I was like 14.
Right.
And when I was 17, there was cell phones. Yeah.
Isn't that crazy to think but, like.
Also, you didn't text anyone. And I was like, we had our cell phones on us all the time in school. But you didn't pull it out because you didn't need to use it. And you weren't texting. You couldn't get internet.
Yeah.
So it was just like in my bag. And I didn't even think anything of it.
I would play Snake on mine. My Nokia.
Yeah, you could do that.
My Nokia. Yes.
The original,
I remember it so vividly.
Original Nokia.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Paying like 99 cents for my ringtones.
Oh, yeah. And then you could get the cool accessories. Like you could untwist the top like antenna thing. Or was that the Nokia? No, it was my next phone. And you could like screw in another one that like lit up when like the phone called.
Yes.
Fancy.
Do you know what my first ringtone was?
No, tell us.
It was My Humps by the Black Eyed Peas.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
I know. It was.
That is a good song.
All right.
So I found my spot.
Thing back up.
Okay. So after the Hunter boys robbed Ferella, the older brother, what was his first name? Anthony. They taunted him by, like, they sent a pager code to him that said 211-420-187. I'm going to tell you what that meant.
Well, I know what 420 and 187 are.
What's 187?
187 is kill.
And
did you learn that from Sublime?
No, I just knew that in general. 187 on a motherfucking cop.
Oh, yeah, that's what it's from, not Sublime.
Yeah. But 187, that's also a movie. That's a lot of things. Hmm. And then 420 is weed.
Yes.
What's the first one?
211.
What's that mean?
Run.
It is the armed robbery in the state penal code is 211. So pretty much they were saying armed robbery of your weed and we're going to kill you.
Yeah.
Something like that. So what does Ferella text back? Any guesses?
No.
187, 187, 187, 187.
Think of another. It's 187, but then something else right afterwards. That's numbers. That's satanic.
666.
Yeah. So that's what he sent back. And so he was saying that he was going to intend on killing these boys. And also he said, I was just trying to scare them. And then Ferella's younger brother, Joseph, was at the time, or still, serving 26 years in prison for the ritualistic slaying of Pauler. So what Anthony said is my brother had done something and he thought he could scare the boys by like sending this message saying that like, hey, it runs in the family, the satanic stuff and the occult stuff.
Right.
So what ends up happening is, guess.
He sees them.
He
beats them.
No.
Stabs them?
No.
Shoots them.
Yes. He brings like a high caliber shotgun. He sees them somewhere. I think it was like outside of like a Chick-fil-A, not Chick-fil-A, KFC or Boston Market. He sees him outside of a Boston market.
Some chicken place.
Yeah, some chicken place. And he pulls a shotgun out and he shoots one of the two brothers. And yeah, and then that brother passed away. And Anthony is in prison as well, just like his younger brother. When they searched his room, they found all this weed. They found bongs. They found pipes. And they found letters to his brother. I mean, the letters really didn't say much.
Right.
I wonder how much weed it was. I know people got ripped off. We got ripped off. We would just be like, fuck.
Oh, you know what? It reminds me.
And we just go to get the weed from the next person, just smoke and talk about that story. We weren't like, all right, we got a shotgun this dude through the chest.
Well, I think what happened was.
What a bunch of morons.
So this kid was a little bit older. He had his own trailer. And so I guess he had been ripped off. This is not an excuse, but it kind of lays into your story a little bit. He had been ripped off like a bunch of times.
And he needs to stop selling weed because he's not good at it.
Exactly. Yeah. He wasn't good at it. Yeah. People were like robbing his house of like weed and like stereo equipment and all this stuff.
The Pharrellos sound like fucking idiots. That's it.
That's it.
Final thought. That is it. Final thought. Yeah, but that's all I got, guys.
What a real bummer of a case there.
That is a really crazy case.
Yeah.
And it looks like they're still in jail.
Yes.
All three of them, right?
Yeah.
For a long, long, long time.
Wow.
A long, long time.
All right.
Still blaming Slayer.
Yeah.
Or at least the one. Wow, that's fucking crazy.
Well, that's our episode for today, guys. Where can they find us?
Oh, so you guys can find us on Instagram at goodbadmurdered. You can email us some, I don't know, email stuff, guys, at thegoodthebadthemurdered@gmail.com.
Gmail.com, not Yahoo. I'm just joking.
Did anyone think no.
And then also, we're going to be posting some new content on our Patreon. So if you need or want more content,
yes,
you need
go
it.
To Patreon and check us out.
And one of the cool things we're doing for our Patreon groupies is we're planning a live show, and so that's in the works, so you'll learn more about that through Patreon. And Becky,
I mean, I don't have anything Becky? To say anymore. You can listen to us because you can listen to us everywhere.
Yes,
everywhere,
guys.
Pick a place, we're there. I mean, where you can listen to podcasts.
Yes.
we're there. Yeah,
thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody.
Peace out.
Bye.
Bye.
Becky, say bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Becky.
Bye. Wish I had.